Hi there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elt.
And I just want to warn you, if you are a Gemini, that today, tension may build from all directions. Everyone may seem to be operating as part of a great conspiracy against you, but don't get paranoid. Actually, do get paranoid. Like us, right? Well, okay, there's like a healthy amount of paranoia, I would say, and I feel like Elt and I have it. That's why we're in this bunker, which can't be accessed by planes, trains, or automobiles, or by any other human. And we have stockpiled food that will last for 362 years. But that's like a healthy paranoia. An unhealthy paranoia is thinking that the person in the other room with you is trying to steal the book that you're in the middle of reading. Probably they're just going to wait for you to be done with it.
But, oh. So even right? If it's true, you can't be paranoid about that.
If it's true, you're not paranoid.
Oh, so that's...
Then you're just smart. See, we're smart because we have created this bunker that we live in because there's dangerous things out there like dust and peanuts, which people are allergic to and die from.
Also people. Oh, wait. We weren't supposed to say that out loud.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we could?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. You guys are great.
Well, if you're listening to this, you're great. But all the rest of those people, ugh.
Those people.
Yeah. I think that's sort of where we land on people.
Oh, that's actually a perfect segue. Because those people really? And like those othernesses and the people outside of the lives that are ours.
So are you telling me I did a good segue even though I didn't do it on purpose?
You accidentally set up a good segue.
So I should just not try to do segues. I should just let them happen.
Yes. Just let it happen. And that way, even if it doesn't happen, you wouldn't have tried too hard to have made a segue that didn't work.
Yes. Okay. I can live with that. All right, folks. So my unintentionally amazing segue was into Daughter of Smoke and Bone, which is the title of the first book, but it's also the series, by Lainey Taylor.
Whom we've spoken about before.
Yes, when we spoke about Muse of Nightmares.
Yeah, Strange the Dreamer and Muse of Nightmares, yeah.
This is not connected, but it is the same author. This book, this series, is about Karu. Karu? Yeah, K-A-R-O-U?
I don't know. Yeah, I would call her that too. I have no idea what her name is pronounced.
That's how I heard it in my head.
Yeah.
Karu is an artist with a secret. Her secret is that she helps Brimstone, who is a monster, collect teeth. But there are even more secrets, because she doesn't know why Brimstone collects the teeth, and she doesn't really know where she was born or who or what she is. So she has secrets that she keeps from others, and there are secrets being kept from her. And then her world gets twisted upside down when she encounters a Seraph who is intent on destroying the world she knows.
Bum, bum, bum.
We have given this book a 3 for violence, a 4 for language, and 3.5 for romance. And for those of you who are new to our pearl-clutching systems, we rate things on a scale of 0 to 4. 0 being super tame, super clean, appropriate for any age, and 4 being
not
the least appropriate. Yes, not. Having all the things in it. And this book has high ratings. I think it's young adult technically, but it really reads more like new adult.
Yeah, because Karu's in college, officially. So they kind of skewed it, I think, because the new adult market is not yet... I mean, it's been around for a while. It does tend to focus more on romances, but it's not as big as the YA market yet.
And this one is a romance within a fantastical world and framework. But ultimately, it's a romance about two star-crossed lovers, right? They come from different worlds who are involved in this thousand-year-long war, a feud started not totally sure why. The Seraphs overran the monsters. What do they call themselves? They don't like call
Shimmer.
Themselves
They're
monsters.
Demons, but they call them Chimeras or Chimeras? Oh, Chimera.
Oh, Chimeras, yeah. And because the Chimeras had a lower society, so the Seraphs overran them and made them slaves. And servants, and now they've been fighting for thousands of years.
They look partly animal, yeah. the Chimeras also. They, like, Karu used to have, I think, wings and maybe, like, some sort of antlers or something.
Right. They're all kind of mixes of, they're almost like all, if you think of a sphinx, they're all, or a satyr, they're all mixed matched. Different parts are human. Some of them have human heads, but some of them have animal heads and different kinds of feet and legs and wings and horns and all sorts of interesting things going on.
Yes. So the romance is definitely at the core of this, I guess, even though they both, Akiva encounters Karu in the human world, because that's where she's been taken, she's been hidden there. Because lots of spoilers. Oh, I don't know how many spoilers I could say, because you haven't finished the series yet. But
that's okay.
Basically, Karu was sort of executed for fraternizing with the enemy. They found out about her and Akiva because they had this fling, they had this thing going on, they bumped into each other, and there was so much love and sparks and stars between them. So they executed her, and then he's now on a vengeance to, like, rid the world of the Chimeras because of what they did to his loved one. And that's why he's coming to, like, destroy everything. And then they counter each other again in the human world, and it's not till, I don't know which book, that they realize, or maybe it's this book, they realize that who she is, the Karu.
It's in the first.
Oh, okay, so good. So they realize who she is, and then it starts with something else, because now there's another Chimera who rises up that wants to destroy all the angels, all the seraphs, who are big, mighty, blazing wing people, like, it's crazy powers. There's a whole thing that goes on. They end up in Marrakesh, in this compound, where now the Chimeras are going to fight against, they give them wings, they're going to fight against whatever, they create new ones. There's going to be a whole war that goes on. They end up in the human world, they end up in their world. Lots of crazy, there's like a rift in the world, they close the rift, they open the rift, whatever. Crazy stuff starts going on. Here's a thing, okay? Here's my thing with the book. Because of course I'm going to have a thing. And aside from the romance stuff, which, you know, we know that doesn't touch my cold, impenetrable heart. But these, Lainey Taylor is her writing is incredibly lyrical. It's the kind of writing that, as a reader, and especially as a writer, you look at it and you're like, how does she do that? Because you know, or you assume it's not something that you can reach. Like, you're either born with that, like, sort of melody in words or not. Not because you can't be a good writer. It's just, there's something about the way she uses words that you're just like, what is this song that I am reading right now? Like, what is this?
It's like prose poetry or poetical prose.
Yes. So that's why there's actually some people, I think we mentioned it when we first spoke about her book, some people don't necessarily like it because they don't like that style. They don't want words that are, like, they like maybe a more direct style of writing versus something that's going to take you, that the writing itself is this whole lyrical journey. And some people love that. Even if you're like, I don't know what you're saying right now, but these words and this melody that you're playing are just incredible, right? Now, here's the thing, okay? And this could be maybe because it's one of her first big series. I think she had one or two books before this, but this is like the series that, like, put her on the map. There's parts of this world, as richly imagined as it is, that are not fleshed out that I had, like, issues with. And so, because that's what I do, okay? Instead of just going along for the ride, I have to find my issues. So, for example, this whole thing about that Karu is going on these, like, collecting his teeth is because that's how there's this thing that somehow her, like, mentor guy, who's actually the guy who saved her, his name is Brimstone. And he knows somehow there's a way that if you get different animal parts together, the teeth and this and that, you could capture a person's essence and then re-put it into this new being to recreate the person, basically. It's almost like you could capture, well, I don't know if they call it the essence, but, like, you have this incense thing, you could capture their essence, which means even if the body dies, the essence is still alive. You could recreate the body somehow with teeth and other animal parts, put the essence back into this body, and now you brought the person back into a new body. And that person could still exist. Which is, side note, what he did with Karu. Kind of. He did something like that with Karu. Okay, so that's that. Now, we don't really know how that works, and that's, I'm kind of okay with the fact that we don't really know how it works. But they make it seem like Brimstone is the only guy who knows how to do it, and he teaches it to Karu. So for whatever reason, they're the only people who know how to do this magic system thing. I don't know what that means, but they're the only ones. We don't know why. So again, that's part of the unexplained part of the magic system. Whatever. Now, Karu has a friend, a human friend. I don't know how to pronounce her name. I don't know if it's supposed to be like Susanna, but like the Czech version. So it's like Zuzana. Huh? Mm. Right? It's spelled, yeah, Zuzana, but I don't know because it's Czech. So we'll call her Zoo, okay? And she's supposed to have this whole eyebrow thing going on for her that I don't get so intimidated from her eyebrows that she can move up and down in such skillful whatever. But later on, Zoo somehow gets all part of the whole war that's going on and all into this kind of stuff, whatever. So at one point, it's like, okay, we have to recreate this one being. Oh, why don't you guys help me? So all of a sudden, this human person that we don't know what the rules of magic are, how they translate into the human world, all of a sudden, she's helping her do this essence thing to recreate a person. And there's one point also where she's like, oh, you know how to become invisible. I know this trick of becoming visible, and I teach Tzu how to become invisible. And you're like, the fact that the demon, the chimeras and the angels have magic, we know that already because they're not physical beings. But in this physical world, which is supposed to be our world that has these beings crossing into it, there's no definition of what the magic system is. So the fact that like, oh, I just taught Karu to pinch her skin or whatever, and now she can go invisible. Not Karu. The fact that Karu could teach Tzu to just pinch her skin and become invisible makes no sense. Like, there's no... Why does Tzu get to do these things? And also, stop freaking bringing Tzu into this. It can just be me that I just, like, not... I'm, like, I'm over, like, the best... Like, this best friend thing. Like, she almost just, like... She's just always in the right place doing the right thing sort of thing. So, that's the only thing that I had with this series. So, if you want to get lost in, like, the lyricism of it, you're going to have a beautiful written series and all that kind of stuff. And if you like the romance of it, you definitely could get lost in it. But if you're going to be someone who's going to try to think past it a little bit, maybe you'll agree with me or not that it's like, what is going on here? How come? And then these coin things, these magic wishes that you just magically understand their language, magically whatever. Like, it makes no sense. Now, we're just going to wrap up with one thing, because I don't know if you noticed this. And this, I realized because I read this series first, then I read the Muse of the Strange the Dreamers. I think I read in that order. At the end of Muse of Nightmares, okay, listen to this. They talk about how even though the muse, I don't remember her name right now, but she becomes a ghost, right? She becomes like a spirit. So now there's the massive hand that she lives on, and we're going to go sail away on the hand, and we'll go to other lands. Maybe we'll find someone who can do something about putting a spirit back into a body. There's like a throwaway line in there like that, which it took a minute that like, till I realized, I was like, wait a second. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not going to make any predictions. But I was like, did Lainey Taylor throw that out there in case she wanted to bring both of these worlds together? Because in Muse of Nightmares, you see that there's seven layers of like of a world. And you have Eris is there. And the world is there. And whatever world they live in is there. So I'm like, are they trying to bring them together so that Karu could put her back into a body? I don't know.
Interesting.
That is a question we can leave you with. Who knows?
Very interesting. Well, I guess now I'll have to read the rest of the Daughters Smoke and Bone series. And also, I think I didn't read Muse of Nightmares. I think I only read Strange the Dreamer. So I have some reading to do.
Yes, you do. You only have half the story. No wonder why you're so paranoid. You don't know the full story.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
I don't have all the information. Okay, well, I'm going to get to reading.
I won't take the books from you because I already read them. So you don't have to be paranoid about that. I will read them. Yeah.
One thing to check off my list. Now, the next thing I need to figure out is where my left sock keeps getting to. I keep on missing my left sock.
Oh, I definitely have nothing to do with that. But it's a good time now for me to just make sure all the securities of the bunker are reinforced. So I'll go take care of that while you hunt down your left sock.
Sounds like a good plan. Thank you so much for listening, folks, and we will catch you next time.
Cheers, everyone.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. See you next time.